All right, let's open up to Psalm 38. We'll try to cover three psalms today. Psalm 38, 39, and 40. The title for all three psalms is, I Can't Wait to Wait. I Can't Wait to Wait. You'll find out what that means. These are all songs that we're reading and studying. It's good to know what we're singing, by the way. Now, Gretchen's real careful about that, and she'll ask me, does this thing seem right to you? Because some of the songs are bring up words and different things and different ideas that might be out of our Christian ease of talking and use words that are a little challenging or whatever, cause us to break out of our box a little bit. And so we have those discussions quite often. Psalm 38, 39, and 40, these are songs right in the Word of God. They are the Word of God. They would have been penned by David or one of his scribes. The things that he was living and experiencing, going through. I can't wait to wait. So there is good things that happen in the waiting on the Lord. We're going to see that. Three different verses from these Psalms that hook all these together that feed this topic of waiting on the Lord is actually having to do with hoping in God. And that's that place of rest. As you're seated right now, that is a picture of resting in the Lord. It's a picture of hoping in God. You're not anxious. You're not running around in circles. You're not jumping up and down. That would be a little annoying probably. But it's a picture of hoping in God and this waiting, this proper waiting. And the good things that come of this waiting, it's not waiting with nothing happening. It's waiting with lots of awesome things happening. First of all, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. So David's really going through it. We're going to see in these first 10 verses, especially of Psalm 38, that David has all sorts of suffering going on physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So I'm going to, for a few minutes, make sure we remember this particular psalm creatively. Thine arrows. Notice he says thine arrows, God's arrows. So you can imagine your worship leader now up in front of you singing this song. Thine arrows are stuck in me. Ouch. Are sticking fast in me. They're stuck in me. When we're hunting deer, we'd say, well, we got to stick one. That was talking about bow hunting in particular. You got an arrow in one. But these are the arrows of God, which we're going to talk about. What does that mean? Stick fast in me, and thy hand, the hand of God, presses me sore. So it hurts. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. So it's just not some random God decided to shoot up David with a bunch of arrows and press down on him with his hand. This is because of sin, directly. For my iniquities, that has to do with the sin, the wrongdoings, are gone over my head. He really got himself in it deep. You know, we can sometimes manage our sins or at least fool ourselves into thinking that we're getting away with something. But in reality, all sin sinks us deep in. They are over our head. They are too heavy for me. So the consequences of sin is what David is feeling now. And he describes it this way in verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. So he has some type of physical thing going on top of his emotional suffering, besides of separating himself from God and feeling that separation, that emotional separation from God. He's physically suffering too because of the decisions that he's made in his life. Not hiding it, not blaming it on the woman, you know, like Adam did. Or then the woman blamed it on the serpent. And they're not playing the blame game here. He knows this was his doing very clearly. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. That's as plain as it gets. My sin stinks. Sorry about that. Pardon. Pardon my stench, you know. It's an embarrassing thing to have such sin in your life where they stink. To that level. I am troubled. I am bound down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. It's hard to tell exactly what David was going through here. We have a few clues, but we're not real sure. But something that was a lot of pain. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared, groaning, by reason of the disquietness of my heart, groaning, struggling. Now, something in the internal struggle going on, as well as the physical struggle. So he's got it going on every level. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it is also gone from me. Even his eyes going dim due to the struggle. Hard to focus on even being able to see simple things in front of him. It's such pain, such suffering going on. So beyond himself and his own suffering, it's extended out around him. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that speak after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Not returning that tennis ball, remember last week, talking about that particular tennis match. Not returning, answering a fool according to his folly, not opening his mouth. Thus I was as a man that hears not, in whose mouth are no reproofs, responses. For in thee, Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. So a little bit of a turn there coming from all these arrows, which I can thankfully put down now. I had to decommission them. Eliana was playing with them. They had some points on them. Not the razor points, but just the regular target points. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. So a turning point. Hands being pressed on him, the hand of God being pressed on him till it hurts. No rest that's in his bones just feeling that ache of no rest. Feeling things that are over his head. He's sunk in his deep, man. It's out of his control. He can't manage his sin anymore. And you can play games with sin, and it's like you can get away with it, and you've got your little system figured out of how you can get away with sin, and it's like, no, it's out of control now. It's all blown up. Out of your little world of control. You can't play games anymore. It's out of your reach. So he's just completely being devastated now. It says he's bowed down. He can't even stand up straight. He's hunched over. His wounds stink even. That's the embarrassment of sin. It's the stench of sin. It's really disgusting. He feels that feebleness, just that weakness, his eyes being dim. Quite a list there. And just a half a song. How do you like that for your worship leader? All stuck up with arrows. And he's, anybody raising their hands to that one? Yeah. Your arrows are stuck in me, God. But listen to verse 15. In thee, O Lord, do I hope. Here's your worship leader. Here's the one writing the song. Thou will hear, O Lord, my God. With all those arrows stuck in him and he stinks and all that, he's able to say, God, you will hear me. You will hear me, even though my enemies are closing in and everything is going down. I can't even see anymore. He's turning to God. So this is the paradox that we have on this earth down here, folks. Really simple. The struggles that we have are consequences of the sins that we do and the sins that other people do and the original sin all the way back to our great grandpa and grandma, Adam and Eve. It's all consequences of that. All these arrows that fly around us are consequences of sin. Could imagine coming up to somebody and asking them, how you doing? And they answering you with these first 14 verses. Be quite an answer. You would be just like, wait a minute. Can we just pray for one thing at a time? You know, it's overwhelming just to hear someone like that go through what they're going through. It's difficult for us to process. So how you doing, David? Well, he just gave us the list to show what is actually happening. But the actual answer is a surprise one. For in thee, Lord, do I hope. With all that going on, would you expect someone to say, I hope in the Lord? Well, I hope you do. Because that's the answer that we have. That's what separates the chaff and the wheat. That's what separates you from being a goat and a sheep. That's what separates us unto God, is that we have this hope that no matter what, even the sin that we cause and that we do, we have this unshakable, unmovable hope in God. Just as you're seated right now, you guys are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have cause to have hope. Very excellent cause, even more than David did as he was looking forward to the Messiah to come. We look back and we see that he did come and he did fulfill all the promises. And we have this hope that is assured. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, huh? We would be surprised at such a response for somebody going through so much suffering, even them smelling. You know, you're trying to talk to them and the arrow that's stuck in their head is hitting you even. You know, it's just like, man, you're messed up. Your whole life is scrambled eggs. This can't be undone. Yeah, it can. All things are possible with God, as this arrow is shaking in his head talking. All things are possible with God. Is that craziness? No, that's faith. That's truth given over to trust, given to faith, then sits into hope. In thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou will hear, O Lord, my God. Beautiful. Sin causes consequences. These are the arrows of God we can think of, the consequences of sin that are around us. For it is God that pronounced the curse upon this earth once Adam and Eve entered into that place of sin. You can imagine a whole bunch of arrows being released at that time, flying around. The consequences of sin all around us. That's what we call the curse. Arrows flying all around us. The second thing we see here regarding sin is that enemies capitalize on it. Our enemies will capitalize on sin. So in particular, the sin that we do. The enemy now comes in to devour us. Ah, now he's tangled up in our camp of sin. Now we can destroy him, completely remove him in his faith and step on him. So why did God release these arrows? Why is this hand pressed hard on David? Why are there consequences to sin? Why was there a curse over sin? Why did God react that way? Couldn't he have just had a different reaction? Let's take a look in Romans 8 to answer that very complex question. Romans 8:18. For I reckon, that's Paul being a Southern, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. All the arrows that are flying around because of the consequences of my sin, your sin, Adam and Eve's sin, all of that and the sufferings and the pain that that causes of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. In other words, that's not the whole plan, was to release a bunch of arrows and have people suffer and hurt. The whole plan, the whole picture, the Alpha and the Omega, the whole story of the gospel is the glory that's going to be revealed in us. It hasn't entered into the mind of man. No eye has seen it, no ear has heard what's going to be revealed in us. This can't compare. The stench that David's going through, the arrows that are stuck in him, that's all this stuff that's going on him, doesn't compare. That's why he has this hope. That's why we have this hope. For the glory that's coming. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Same words of David. I hope in the Lord. Same words coming out of Paul here. Gifted by the Spirit, for the earnest expectation of the creature still in Romans 8. For the expectation of the creatures, that's all of us, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's that glory to be revealed. So we're waiting. This is, I can't wait for the wait. We're creatures that wait. We wait in hope, and God blesses us during the wait. During and when it is actually realized, of course, when that blessing comes. He gives us a little insight on why these arrows, why the curse. For the creature was made subject to vanity, verse 20 of Romans chapter 8. The creature was made subject to vanity. We are susceptible to those arrows that fly around. Disease, judgment, all those things of those arrows of the curse that fly around, they cause suffering around us. Some of you are suffering right now with different things. But the creature was made subject to vanity, to this suffering, not willingly, but by reason of whom who has subjected it, the same in hope. Wasn't our choice. We chose the bit of the apple, the whatever it was, the forbidden fruit. But then it was God's choice to subject us to this curse, of this vanity, this body that is a body of death. Because the creature, keep listening, this is kind of deep this morning. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails, or works really hard, in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have been the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Maddie gave us a little clue that we've got a deposit on that adoption already, the gift of the Holy Spirit that seals us and say, you have been adopted. That face-to-face meeting with our Lord God is yet to take place. Our reunion with Him in heaven, our permanent abode, is yet to be, but He's given us that deposit. He came out to the orphanage and He says, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. And He's given us that Holy Spirit that is that comforter to give us comfort during this life. And Maddie pointed out a good little devotion there already, those three elements that the Holy Spirit brings to us while we're on this earth. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Now we know what David is talking about. How could a guy under such suffering even say anything like that? It's bizarre. Is he insane? Is he crazy? No. That's a hope given by the Holy Spirit. That's a hope that the Holy Spirit breathed into him, into his ear, that he can hope in God. For I said, in verse 16, back to Psalm 38. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. It's a horrible feeling when you've caused this into your life and now your enemies are exalting themselves and they do the aha thing and all that stuff. That's worse than the stinking of whatever he's going through physically. That's a hard thing to endure. For I am ready to halt, just to cease, to fall over, gone, kaputz, kick the bucket. And my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. So this is one of the things that is beautiful in this place of hope. As you're seated this morning, this is one of the things that come to us as a gift in the waiting. I can't wait to wait. As we get up in the morning, I can't wait to wait on the Lord. I want Him to speak to me today. I want Him to show me things today. I want His reality to be my evidence this morning, manifest before me. I will declare my iniquities in verse 18. I will be sorry for my sin. This is one of the things that comes to us during the waiting is worship. Worship in truth and spirit. Not worship just singing a song and looking lyrics on the wall. No, you've been created not to eat lasagna, not to shovel snow, not to just get through it. You've been created to worship. I don't know if you know that. Honeybees were created to make honey. Beavers were created to make dams. What are you doing here on this earth? To worship the living God and know Him personally. David is entering in a place called worship in truth and spirit. In other words, it's real worship. I will be sorry for my sin. Repentance. He's opening his heart. His heart is opening up to God and real worship is happening. I will declare my iniquities. Cleansing is happening. He's becoming honest before God. truth and spirit. When we worship God, we can't have hidden sins in our heart and junk, and we can't be fooling God. We got to come to Him bare. That was my dream last night. Oh my goodness, this is coming to me now. This is so crazy. I couldn't find my clothes, and it was time to preach. And so it was like, I got to have pants on. I can't go out there in my underwear and preach the gospel. So it's one of those pizza dreams, like pepperoni dreams, they call them. But truly in worship, we do. We can't have coverings. We can't have fig leaves on. We can't hide things with God. It's a time of truth and honesty with God. And that's what's happening in the waiting here with David. Honesty is happening. Why did he subject us to these things, these curses, disease, and these troubles, and these arrows flying all the time around us? Why did he release those back in the garden? For this right here. For Father seeks those that would worship Him in truth and spirit, that we would come to this place that we were created to be. My enemies are lively. They are strong. Like, doesn't that feel that way sometimes? I mean, the enemies are, it just seems so strong and you feel so frail. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are my adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. There's the Holy Spirit. Maddie spoke about the righteousness that He guides us into. He says, I go to the Father, therefore I give you the Spirit. You're not going to be following Jesus physically anymore. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. So in the same context, you're following Jesus, still following Him. That was the idea there, righteousness. He leads me on paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I follow the thing that is good. Verse 20, that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's move right into Psalm 39. In this particular song, we're going to see verse 7 talk about that hope that we have. That ridiculous, crazy hope that Christians have. They get an arrow sticking out of their head and yet say, I hope in God. And the enemies are saying, ah, ha, 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 look at you with arrows sticking out of your head. I still hope in God. Even though I'm not perfect and I sin and I fall, I still hope in God. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's the separation of the chaff and wheat. I said, I will take heed to my ways. Truth happening. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be honest before God? There's no pretenses. There's no, well, excuses. And it's like, well, God, and then, you know, and then, you know, and, you know. And I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, mute. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. David struggled with something in particular here, and I want to point that out, because Christian, you can do this, and it can happen in your life, is that because of sin, particularly the ones that you commit, you get into a place of self-pity, into a place of disability in the kingdom of God. And you stop serving, you stop being the role that you are. You call your father, your mother, your this, a grandmother, grandparent. You stop being that because you're just so racked up with self-guilty and pity. And you get in this little self-loop. David struggled with this intensely. And you see that in his relationships with his sons, Absalom in particular. He wouldn't discipline them because he was disabled as a father because of sin. And here we see that. It's reminded me of that. I don't know if this relates to a particular event regarding his sons and his life, but this passage reminds me of the struggle that David had, that he could never get past that place of the wrongs that he did. He could never forgive himself. So he continued to beat himself up, and Satan would have you do this 24/7, 365, including Christmas, everything. He would have you do this. Beat yourself up. You are junk, you did this, beat yourself up. That way you stay ineffective in the kingdom of God. So David had a lot of ineffectiveness in his life because of that. There was like fire, it said, in his bones. He knew there was something good. Look at it in verse 4 there. My heart was hot within me. while I was musing, thinking about, amusing, by the way, is without thought. You put an A in front of something, amusement park, because you don't have to think, you're just entertained. Amusement, you turn on the TV, you don't have to think, it does it for you. Musing is actually thinking. My heart was, I didn't go on a soapbox, did I? My heart was hot within me while I was musing, thinking about, this was God who called us to be aware and thinking, not just to be amused, with the fire burned within me. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end. So in this, in his communication with God at least, he's able to speak. He's able to be effective in this particular song. And this is beautiful. This is beauty in the waiting here. Lord, make me to know my end and measure of my days, the measure of my days, what it is, how long I have till I die. Is it another day? Is it a minute? Is it 10 years? Is it another 20? That I might know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath, and my age is nothing before thee compared to a God that comes out of eternity. What is our 80, 90, 100 years down here? It's just like nothing. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Take a pause. Think about that. So you're going to see a little bit of King David here, a little bit of this nature passed on to his son Solomon, because the whole book of Ecclesiastes is that very thought. It's like, wow, what use is it? What use is it to build buildings? What use is it to do anything? You just die and somebody else gets your stuff. And so he's in this place. It's a healthy place. There's a reason for that in the scripture, because we can tend to get so wrapped up in possessions and so wrapped up in our whatever it is, this thing that we have. And it's like, you know what? That's nothing. Naked I came into this world. Used to be on the back wall there. Somebody took it down. Naked I came into this world, the naked I leave. And that kind of idea. It's vanity to try to hold on to these things. They're mirages. They're illusions. They're really not the reality of the kingdom of God. When you're in the kingdom of God, you're going to look back to our time on earth, if we're able to, and it would be like a cartoon. It would be like an illusion. It would be unreal to us. Now it kind of seems just the opposite. We kind of think of heaven, we think of these... at least I do. You think of things like in ghostly terms and kind of like translucent and not real and just walking through walls and that kind of thing. But that reality is the reality of all realities. This reality we're in now is very transient. It's very changing all the time. There's another word for that. You can write Ecclesiastes and Solomon next to that. You can hear his dad here talking about that, probably pass some of that on to Solomon. And Solomon, very different life that his son would live. He would get the opportunity to build the temple and hire hundreds of thousands of people to do so, just a great workforce. But yet he would go on a different path, and his gifting was in wisdom, and his pursuits kind of came out of that. And David was a heart towards God, and you see worship coming out of David. So very interesting. I love the characters in the Bible. God wants us to embrace them. They're the pillars of witnesses around us to encourage us, not to get pigeonholed on one character or try to elevate a person or try to emulate a person other than Christ. And now, Lord, where was I? What verse? I have no idea. Our life, oh yeah, Selah, pause, of course. Surely every man walks in a vain show, or as a shadow. Surely they are disquieted in vain. Even our trouble and it's like that turmoil and being upset. And it's like, if we really knew that it's just like a snap, it's a breath, it's a wisp of smoke, our life, what would there be to be angry about? And you think about it, you know, it's that quick. So that's what David is saying here in this particular song. It's like we're even being upset and angry doesn't even make sense. It's a vanity in that. In heaping up riches, of course, and knowing not who shall gather them. So verses 5 and 6, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, a lot of that idea coming out of that. David's in a place, though, where he's feeling that. And certainly in this type of failure, You're going to come to this place of truth. And that's a beautiful thing. So this is a good thing that's happening. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Recalibrated. I'm not waiting for riches. I'm not waiting for success and fame. I am hoping in Thee. That's it. There's nothing else. All anchors cut off. I am hoping in Thee. That's my true anchor. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. That means mute. I opened not my mouth because Thou didst it. You shot the arrows, God. That's part of the consequences. You reap what you sow. The consequences of sin are like arrows flying around all the time, just waiting to land on somebody that chooses to go on the path of sin. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of Thy hand. Have you ever heard the term holy spanking? That's where it comes from. I am consumed by the blow of Thy hand. Well, now, with rebukes dost correct a man for his iniquity. Thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Again, everything wiped out. This is a good place. You got the holy eraser out. You got your chalkboard filled with equations and complex things and different things going on. And what's this going to be? And what's going on with us? And, you know, all kind of confusion of life. And it's just like, this just wipes the whole slate clean. And it's like, I'm going to hope in the Lord and just have an opportunity now to wipe the slate clean. And I'm going to hope in You, Lord. That's all I'm going to do. Hear my prayer, O Lord. It's verse 12. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not Thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with Thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Thank You, Jesus, for those times. So many times, even this morning, feeling His strength. So many times. It's the song that we sang this morning. Every hour, I need You. Is that a bad thing? Would you change that to every month, I need You? Once a month? Once a year? What if we change that song to one? Every year, every leap year, I need You. No, it's a good thing. I can't wait to wait on the Lord. These arrows are flying. I know they're going to hit me. This tent's going to go. The arrows are going to hit me, and they have. You know, I struggle in this life with different things. The arrows of the curse, I've got to let go of this body. But when they hit, when that weakness hits, whether it's some kind of physical thing, something I did, or as a result of my own sin even, I'm going to come to this place of needing God. Every hour I need Thee. That's the beauty in the waiting. So lastly, Psalm 40, don't get nervous. We're going to read it through pretty quick. Next week we're going to pick back up there. But cover at least the particular point about waiting on the Lord and hoping on Him to complete our trilogy of songs today. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, not just a regular old pit, horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You want to play football today? You come over and see some of the miry clay, get it on your pants. Or just hang out and have some food and fellowship after church, 2:00. Miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful promise. Teen Challenge uses that particular verse as one of their mainstays. He set my feet upon a rock to get resituated, seated on the rock, Jesus Christ. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. What an exciting thing. This is another beauty in the waiting. Putting a new song in your mouth, maybe not just literally a song, but a new type of outlook on life, a new perspective. Maybe you're free of the folly of youth. You're free of something that was hanging on to you. A new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Yeah, definitely after you see a guy that stinks and he's got arrows all stuck in him, all of that, and to see him singing a new song even, yeah, many shall trust in the Lord. I tell you what, folks, it's by the power of the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the power of your testimony in that gospel that is going to cause many to fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, verse 4 says, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I'm actually going to stop right there. We are going to pick up next week in Psalm 40 right there. We're going to do an exercise this morning, though, so I didn't want to miss that particular part and run out of time. In these particular three psalms here, waiting on the Lord and hoping in him, verse 1 there, of course, is that last song of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. That completes the trilogy here of waiting on the Lord and hoping and resting in him. Part of that, I want to bring into you the power of the gospel here this morning, and what that means to me and you really and literally every day. When you're going through something, an arrow has struck you, or two or three or four or 10 or 100 have struck you, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. As you're saying that, now in this reality of the kingdom of God, in the new covenant, Jesus Christ enters into that same word. That's the fellowship of his suffering. That's dying with Jesus Christ. I'll illustrate that in a minute so you know what I mean. Then being raised with him, all of a sudden he starts speaking words of life and we join him. In our suffering, in our struggle, God, these arrows, this pain is going on. All of a sudden we hear him saying the same thing. As if he's shadowing us. We feel his strength come in our suffering. Then we feel his life. He starts speaking words of life. And we start speaking those. That's intimacy with God. That's what it means to have relationship with Jesus. We use that word a lot. Let's know what it means. When you're going through suffering here, I need someone that has a King James Bible that would read along with me. I thought you had one, Maddie. It's at the house. Oh, you got the loaner Bible. Back in at Catholic school, if we forgot something, we forgot our tie, we'd have to draw one on a piece of paper and tape it to our shirt. So that reminds me of those things. Praise God. Ready? Psalm 38. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verses 2 and 3 together. Just let me read verse 1. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3 together. And we can pull this off. We can do anything. Okay, I'm going to read verse 1. Then you're going to join me to read verses 2 and 3. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasing me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. And we could keep going down, of course, with that. And you see what happened there is I started in my suffering, started praying to God. And Dick, representing Jesus, started interceding for me, actually praying along with me, suffering with me. That's the fellowship of his suffering. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how intimate it is. That's how close it is. That's the gospel, folks. That's the new covenant, the new promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's that close, closer than a brother. Now, to Psalm 40 here. Now, Dick, if you could start with verse 6 there, and I'm going to join you in 7 and 8.
Your praise and offering, thou didst not desire. Mine ears has thou openly burnt offerings and sin offerings has thou not required.
Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. So the Holy Spirit now given to us, represented by speaking life now, this is the resurrection. This is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in his new life. Now speaking, now I'm joining the Holy Spirit. You see how that works? That's intimacy with God. We get to do that every day. I can't wait to wait on the Lord. You get it? It's awesome. The gospel is really cool. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For your word, we thank you, Lord. This is a better covenant. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Lord God, that we don't just have a set of laws before us and then waiting for us to trip up in them. But Lord God, you're that close to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your fellowship with us today, even in this assembly, Lord God. We know that you are here and that you're pleased, Lord God, with those that would come out today and show their love towards you, Lord God, and express it. We pray for the rest of the afternoon at the house and wherever people are going, Lord Jesus, you would abide over us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.